Hello and welcome to the WFNY Brownscast. If you are hearing this and I sound different, that's because I'm not Taylor and I am all alone. That's right, I am Joe Gerbs Gerberry on the mic with you by my lonesome. Matt and Taylor are both out tonight with holiday parties. This is the week of Christmas. Taylor, I believe, is actually traveling to go see family with his in-laws. Matt is at a family party, I know that. But, yeah, that's what we got. So you got me tonight, all by my lonesome. So grab a blanket, cuddle up close, and listen to what I got to throw down here on the podcast microphone. Probably what you all want to hear. This will be a short one since it's just me and I have no one else to talk to, just you guys. Week 16, Cleveland is 9-5 on the season. They are playing the Houston Texans in Houston, which is nice. This was obviously set up as some sort of a Deshaun Watson returning home kind of a game. Obviously, he is not there. So, you know, that happens. But don't worry, we have the savior, Joe Flacco, coming in. It's really funny to me how much Joe Flacco has been just well-loved and well-received in Cleveland after all of the years in Baltimore. You know, it's the old... We're rooting for laundry, and it's no more apparent when you look at what we're doing here with Joe Flacco. So, yeah, it just happens that when a team needs you, and you get called up, and he's performing well. Obviously, last week we would have preferred a few fewer interceptions. You definitely don't want him to be throwing three picks at a time, but these are games that are winnable games that they are pulling out. I think there are no team has come back from 10 points down more often than Cleveland. So the Cardiac Kids 2.0 is are back and running. But you know, Flacco is looking decent when he's out there. He still has the touch, as you saw with that Cooper throw for a touchdown. He's getting the ball to his receivers in spots where they are able to do the best with it. There are obviously some throws that he looks like a 38-year-old journeyman who's been on the couch 4 weeks ago. The interception at the goal line... That had a wide open in Njoku is apparent of that, where you know it was a masterful play by the defender, but also just kind of a crummy throw by Flacco, and those things will happen when you have a guy like that. But I truly just couldn't be more impressed with Flacco and his ability at this point, especially like I said. A month ago, he was on the couch. And to be able to do all this, obviously, he was keeping up and all those things. He wasn't just, you know, he wasn't White Goodman, you know, bulging at the belt, you know, eating Haagen-Dazs by the gallon. But to be able to just come off the street and play this well it is really something, so... But, yeah, so that was Flacco. Looking for this week, week 16 in Houston, the thing on everybody's mind right now is the playoff scenarios. The Browns dropped their nine-square playoff scenario, what all needs to happen. Let me just unfortunately break your hearts here, everyone. It doesn't look good for this week. There is no scenario that Cleveland is able to clinch in Week 16 without a win. So Cleveland needs to win this Houston game to clinch. And they also need Steelers to lose on Saturday. Those are all definite things that need to happen. Lose or tie. I should take that back. Lose or tie. However, the other scenarios that are likely, the most likely to have happen, require a Colts win, which isn't too hard. They're playing Atlanta, where they are only a point underdogs on the road. So that's a pretty good matchup for Indy, but they also would need some form of a Denver loss or tie to New England, who is trying to tank for a higher draft pick, or the Buffalo Bills, who look to be hitting their juggernaut stride. If they need either Denver to lose to New England or Buffalo to lose to the Chargers, who just fired their head coach. So, and GM. It's looking unlikely for this week. A Miami win definitely helps them. Miami's playing San Fran, so that's a big one. A Jacksonville loss also helps them. I'm actually not 100% as to who Jacksonville is playing this week. But Trevor Lawrence is in the concussion protocol, I believe. So that's definitely a step in the right direction for those hopes and dreams, betting-wise, or you know, if you're a Cleveland fan, getting a Jacksonville loss to the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. That's nice. That's helpful. That definitely helps the team know the drive there. But needing Buffalo and or the Broncos to lose those games, it really feels less likely that it's going to happen in Week 16 for Cleveland. Much more likely that if they are able to win this week, that they will clinch in Week 17 at home against the Jets if they get a win there as well. As of right now, there is no scenario that Cleveland can win or get to the playoffs without a win. So, you know, rest assured, we're not doing any scoreboard watching right now in this week. There are some games that obviously do help Cleveland. And it is nice that they could clinch a playoff spot, but, you know, nothing seems likely this week. If they are wanting to get higher than the fifth seed, which everybody seems to want, now I don't blame them, you'd have to be able to win out the rest of the season and have a Baltimore semi-collapse. I think they have to lose the two of their next three, which is possible. So you're rooting for a Niners win. You're rooting for a Miami win, actually, against Dallas. That was one of the most common ones up on the 9 block as well. A win or a tie for Miami. And surprisingly enough, an Indy win against Atlanta seems to be a very common clinching scenario on the, like I said, the 9 block there. But let's just go into this week looking for a win, and keep rolling that out. That's what's best for Cleveland, is just to keep going down the winner's mark and winner's bracket here, and keeping those good vibes going. Get that 10th win, double digit wins, and see where we go from there. After that, you know, we'll see. As far as winning for this week, the odds makers, Vegas has seen a giant move on their line on Sunday night, Monday morning, when they set the line for this week. They actually had Houston favored by 2.5 points. The bets right now are Cleveland favored by 2.5 points. So that's a 4-point swing in a couple days, and that is mainly because C.J. Stroud is going to be out for this week, as he is still in the concussion protocol. Houston also is losing, likely to lose, defensive end Will Anderson, their other rookie, a linebacker Blake Cashman, Tank Dell is already on IR, and leading receivers Nico Collins and Noah Brown were last limited in practice today on Thursday. It is possible that they get some full practices in on Friday and are able to play, but that remains to be seen as to who Case Keenum, old friend Case Keenum, is going to be throwing the ball to for Houston. But those are Stroud being out was what really set the tone. Anderson definitely helps, especially when Cleveland is so bereft of is, I don't want to say bereft of talent, but you know, this walking MASH unit of injuries. Did not practice for Cleveland this week, as reported by Mary Kay Cabot. Juan Thornhill was not out of practice today. Za'Darius Smith was not out of practice. Ogbonnia Okoronkwo was not out there. Ogbo was not out. Nor was Anthony Walker. Cleveland did a walk-through practice yesterday, which saw Betonio and Ward kind of take some days off. I think Miles also took a day off. With Cleveland doing a short week next week where they have a Thursday game against the Jets, they wanted to shorten what they were doing this week so they can plan for a longer one next week, which makes sense. Having Thornhill back this week would be a positive, as well as Za'Darius. It would be helpful to have those pass rushers creating some havoc for Keenum. However, it seems unlikely that at least Ogbo will be going. Holding out hope for Za'Darius that he's able to get back to practice on Friday. Cleveland has been really cautious with injuries. They kept Denzel Ward out for another week. Then we thought he had done a lot of practicing on the week that he missed his third game, and he was still marked and out on that third week. So it remains to be seen what they want to do here with Thornhill, with Za'Darius, but you can probably mark at least one of those guys to be out. Good news is Joe Boltonio was back at practice this week. Joel Joel Boltonio was out this week. Was back at week this week. Does not appear to be out. That's a big help to the offensive line, as well as Ethan Bosick being back. The line was so ravaged last week against the Bears. It was obvious that they weren't really able to have the passing game that they wanted in Chicago. They just really couldn't get any running game going. And that was apparent, as even more apparent, once Boltonio went out. Just too much talent lost. But obviously they pulled it out. The Hail Mary to win closed out the game was a giant one for Cleveland. I was with my buddies at the time and buddy's house, and gripping the arm of a friend, and literally fell to the ground as that happened. It was just a really, really cool play, and this season has been amazing as a fan, a long-suffering fan here. And just being able to have those moments with friends and watching. So hopefully this keeps up for the season, that we're able to, you know, string together a couple more wins here to finish out. We can keep this playoff train going. So don't you know that you're a grown up?
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X grown-up.
Every week, the Gen X grown-up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, I think that was good enough.
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
Right.
All right, let's take a look at some breaks. All right, let's take some look at some picks. This week, they will come for me if I do not mention that Taylor has unseated me from my lofty perch. He has gotten me over by a point, 124 to 123. Matt is trailing at 119. That's just what happens, guys. Taylor hit every pick on the game last week, whereas I lost two, Matt lost two, and then my picks were just not really great. That's what happens. But let's go into this week. We'll do game picks, and then I'll talk a little bit more about the prop bets, where I'm at, where they are at. Taylor and Matt have messaged me their picks, so that's nice. I have that already. So, Taylor picked out Cincy at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 2-point home dog. Taylor and Matt both took the Bengals. I am also going to take the Bengals, despite the fact that Jamar Chase is going to be out for this game. There is just some... there's not some good stuff out of Steelers land, and as much as I would love to revel in Steelers schadenfreude, I can't get there because I've been the recipient of it too much. I do in my own personal life, in my own head. It's, you know, great fun to make fun of George Pickens for not blocking for Jaylen Warren and not wanting to get hurt. And Jill Ward coming back at, you know, hey, I would have blocked for you, but that's fine. All those kinds of things. I do think Cincy is just a better team right now, and they have not lost really anything going from Joe Burrow to Jake Browning. Which is really scary for Cleveland. When we were looking at the schedule, we thought, especially as after Burrow went down, like, marking off, hey, got to win against this one. Win here. We got three schedule wins. And that's looking less and less like a schedule win. But, Cincy's scary right now. So, I'm going with them and picking Cincy as we go along. hey, you got to call the number game of the week. The Washington Redskins are traveling to New York to play the Jets, who are a 3-point favorite at home. We had a split here. Taylor picked the Jets. Matt picked the Redskins. It really feels like Ron Rivera is on his last legs. And I don't know if Sam Howell got hurt, or if he got benched. They had to use Jacoby last week. I have no idea if Zach Wilson's going to play this week. This is, as I have mentioned before, the, hey man, if you're betting on this game, you got to call the number. This is not a responsible game to have any kind of money on. I have no feel for this game. I am going to run with the Jets, who just have a better defense. We've seen proven that that's something that can win them games. So I am going to go with Taylor here and pick the Jets, and we'll see where that goes. Just a real quick Jets thing. The most obvious news came out this week as we found out that Aaron Rodgers was not going to play. this season, or is less likely to not play, they are going to activate him from the IR so he could be on the roster, meaning they had to waive somebody. But how do you feel about your life if you're the guy that got waived so that Aaron Rodgers can be inactive on Sunday? And then, you know, like, what kind of a life is that, man? Like, if you really thought that Aaron Rodgers was going to use dolphin noises to heal a torn Achilles and be back in 15 weeks when it takes a year to heal, like, we need to talk to some people, man. We need to talk to some people. Get that figured out. All right. That's enough Jets. Shredford, we'll see them next week, hopefully as a clinching move. But Dallas is traveling to Miami, who is a 1.5-point favorite. Matt and Taylor both picked the Cowboys to get a road win. I am going, and this is the somebody has to win bowl, a matchup of two teams that can't beat good teams, as we saw Dallas just utterly get demolished by Buffalo, out physicaled on the road. And truthfully, I think it happens again. I think that Miami is going to get this one pulled together. The injuries that Miami has, the Ty Hill being out is a big deal. He is questionable for this week, but yeah, I think I'm riding high on the Finns, man. I have a lot of Finns fans in my life, and Miami pulling this out to me is the move. I don't think that Cowboys. I don't want to go and say that they're not good, but they looked utterly helpless on Sunday last week, and I don't think that Miami is a team that's going to be able to help them here. I think Miami's getting geared up, so that's where I'm at. Last game before Cleveland's here. I do believe this is, if it's not a Monday night game, then it is the late Christmas Eve or Christmas night game. Baltimore is traveling to San Francisco, where San Fran are favored by 5.5 points. Matt and Taylor both took the Niners. I agree. As much as it pains to say that Brock Purdy is the MVP favorite, and the Niners are just the best team, best collection of roster talent in the league. I can't lose ground to these guys and pick against the Niners. Baltimore is close. Baltimore is, a top three team in the league, it possibly top two. And this is a potential Super Bowl matchup, but yeah, Niners are going to win in San Francisco all the time. I'm even okay taking them as a cover, really. But, they look scary, man. They just look scary, the Niners do. And I want to preface this. Since I'm by myself and I can talk to you all, I only don't like Brock Purdy because he's on the Niners. I want to love Brock Purdy. He looks wholesome. He looks, he looks like a kid that I would want to root for. But here's the thing. I am fully on board with the idea that he is only good because he is in Kyle Shanahan's system. I think he has an NFL arm. He can definitely make throws and do things that are in line with other quarterbacks in the league. But here's the thing. He's only able to do those things because he's in San Fran with Kyle Shanahan. he's not asked to do much more because he's got the most talented roster in the league. So that's just, you know, I that's where I'm at with Brock Purdy. I want to love him. I've made my line in the sand and I can't cross it now. I can't cross over that Rubicon to root for him. My friends will not let me. But that's what I want to do and I just can't. So that's where I'm at. But that's the last game before Cleveland. So let's go to the prop bets. Taylor has here Flacco pass yards over under 274.5, meaning you can get 274. They have, I don't know that he has thrown for less than that, as a Cleveland Brown this season. My apologies if you can hear my dog chewing on a water bottle, but, that's what we got going here in, Gerberry land. Just checking these game logs for you guys here real quick. 254 is his lowest. He's thrown for 300 yards in the last two games. 274 is a pretty good number. And Matt and Taylor both took the over on it. I am going to join them just so I don't lose any points. We all lose. We all lose. But, yeah, I think they just want to try to get the running game going. And I think if Petonio is there, they have an ability to. Having no Will Anderson, having no Blake Cashman, Houston's D just isn't great. They do have a really good head coach in D'Amico Ryans, and they held Derrick Henry to very small yardage last week, but it also was a Will Levis-led offense where they knew that they were going to go to Derrick Henry. I don't know that they wanted to let Will Levis beat them, and, you know, he almost did. But, so I do think that they are going to, Cleveland is going to try to rush more, but 274 is a good number to try to get over for Flacco. I think you can get maybe 300. Next one, Case Keenum, passing yards, 206.5. Taylor went over, Matt went under. I am going to go over. 206 is a really, really low number. As much as Cleveland's defense has been stifling, I cannot think that he is going to throw for less than 206. If he does, then absolutely Cleveland's winning this game. I will mark that in whatever bank you want, but I don't think he throws for over 206, and I think Cleveland can pull this out. So, next one. A new one. Which team will have the most, or will have more rushing yards, Texans or Browns? Because of, even despite of what I said, that they are going to try more, I am also going to go with the Texans here. I do believe that they are just better equipped to try to run the ball. Their running backs are a little bit better, Damien Pierce, Devin Singletary. That being said, I love Jerome Ford. I love Kareem Hunt. I just think Cleveland is more willing to go to the air over what Houston is willing to do. They are going to want to try to run the ball. And, yeah, that's what Houston is going to try to do. And I think they're going to be successful at it. So, at least to a point. I don't know that this is going to be a one that's going to end up being like 80 to 75. And I'm going to hate my life that it's going to be that close. But, you know, that's where we're at. Browns leading receiver. Taylor picked Amari Cooper. Matt picked David Njoku. This last week was the first week that Browns have had two 100-yard receivers, I believe, since, if not ever, then at least since they came back. It's been a very long time. So they've had two receivers have 100-yard games in the same game. So that was really great to see. Njoku is my pick here. It has just become apparent that Flacco loves throwing to his tight end. And Njoku he's a target monster for what these games have been. He's getting just like targeted to death. And to his credit, he's catching a bunch of them, but 14 targets in week 15. In week 14 against Jacksonville, they looked at Njoku for 8 times. They threw to Cooper 14 times. They basically have flip flopped these last 2 games. I think Njoku is the one here. They use him so well in the screen game and over the middles, and that Stefanski just is really, really great at doing the scheming guys open. And Njoku is one that you almost need to double him. And it's really hard to double a tight end, as we see with Travis Kelce. But Njoku is just coming into his own and being that freak guy, and that's where I'm going as well. So, all right. Browns sacks, 3.5. Over, under. Taylor and Matt both went over. I am actually going to go under here. With the injuries to the defensive line, Za'Darius being banged up, Ogbo being out, I just can't see a scenario where Myles Garrett is getting a bunch and Alex Wright is pitching in, and, you know, it's become a full-on mash unit here. If Myles is the only significant pass rusher, God bless, I really hope that Dalvin Tomlinson can get there. I hope Alex Wright is able to get at least one. But I don't see a scenario where that is an over, despite what Taylor and Matt think. They both picked the over, if I hadn't said that previously. So, I want it to be the over, because those are fun. Sacks are fun. If they're for your team doing them. But if they're not, then that's not great. That's not what you want. But so we'll see where we're at on that. Last one before I pick, everybody else has picked, the game. The turnover battle winner, Houston or Cleveland. Taylor and Matt both picked Houston winning the turnover battle. I'm going to go Cleveland. I think that Cleveland is able to get a couple over on Case Keenum. I think Flacco's able to maybe have a clean sheet this week. That'd be really great. But I'm going to go Cleveland getting... you know what I'm going to do? Because I'm here and I can do it myself. I'm going to push. I'm going to say that it's going to end up being like 1-1. Maybe 2-2. I'm going to take the coward's way out here and save myself a point. But, give it a push. I think it's going to end up being even. I don't see a way where... I see Cleveland wanting to be more careful with the ball and not turn it over. So, all right, last one. Cleveland is heading to Houston. Houston are now 2.5 home dogs. Like I said, the line moved a bunch once C.J. Stroud was basically ruled out. I'm going to go to Cleveland. I'm going to go... I think they can even cover as well. This is a big win. We have talked all week. I wrote a piece about Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and the culture that he has helped set up here for this roster. This is a week that is a culture win. I think that it is apparent and obvious how much this team has changed. This season has changed the culture in Cleveland. This is not your... Another piece I wrote this week. These are not your dad's Browns, where they are the league sad sacks. They are doing things at a great in a great way, where they are able to have, you know, next man step up. They created that chemistry. They're creating that culture, and it is just obvious to see that this is such a different team from teams we've had in the past. Andrew Schnittke posted in our Discord that he thinks that this is his favorite Browns team ever. And I don't know, like, if it's not the 2020 team that won in Pittsburgh in the playoffs, then it's this team. There are just so many good dudes, and just the their ability to be resilient and come back whenever they can, come back from whatever is ailing them, man, it's something to watch. And it is really impressive as a fan of the team to see the adversity they've come back from. I mean, you look down the Browns, you know, win-losses here. These games were close. They have won so many games by, you know, a score. And that's a sign of a really good team and a really good winning culture. And I think that's apparent to anyone that watches the team that this is not a team that can, you know, that is going to go out and have a losing effort. They don't have an issue so much with the playing down to teams. They meet teams... They go out and they blow out the bad teams. They whomped on the Tennessee. They whomped on the Cardinals. You know, the only game that was really out of hand for them were the Baltimore Ravens game, the first one. The Denver game eventually got out of hand, and the Rams game. But both the Denver and the Rams, they were in it until the very end. They, you know, these guys were there, and then, you know, some extenuating circumstances happened, some injuries, that kind of stuff. But to have only three games where the end result is that you were out of it, that's really great for Cleveland. And again, they only have five losses. That's three of those five are games that, you know, they got blown out in, or, you know, that were more decisive than ever. Having two close losses, that's good. That's a really, really good sign for this team that they are getting to where they need to be going forward. So, all right, guys, for myself, for Taylor and Matt, for the WFMI Browns cast, I am getting out of here. Because I have had this frog in my throat for a while, and my dog is eating yarn. So that's going to be it for me. I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Please, please, please love on your family this weekend. If you don't have a great family, I'm your family now. That's what it is. I'm your family now. Just call me, message me. I'll be your bruncle, whatever it is. But yeah, hope you guys have a very safe and happy and healthy holiday. We'll be back. I don't remember if Taylor's going to be able to do the post-game one. We may end up waiting or doing it on a Tuesday or something like that this week, just because, you know, the holiday of what we got going on this week. I'm not sure what we will be doing for a post-game podcast. We will try to get back to you this week. I might be doing it with Matt. I might be doing it by myself. I'm not sure. But we'll do something for you guys, have something ready for you this week post-game. So again, as for Matt, for Taylor, for the WFNY Browns cast, I say good night and go Browns.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on CannedAirPodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.